Monday, 29-week ordinary time 2. The first reading from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1-10. Brothers and sisters, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you once lived according to the age of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the desire of our flesh, following the wishes of the flesh and the impulses, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest. But God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love he has for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved, raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you, it is the gift of God. It is not from works, so no one may boast. For we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that God hath prepared in advance that we should live in them. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12, verses 13-21. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have the space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, 'Now, as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? That will it be for the one who stored up treasure for himself, but is not rich in what matters to God?" Sharing of the reading: how to properly live. Is it meant to have much money, or to satisfy the desire of flesh, or to have power and fame? True reading today shows us that the true life does not depend on these things, but on how to live according to Christ's teaching and God's providence. Second analysis. First reading. You are saved by God's grace. First point, the worldly way. If the way of life in sin and deviated from the right way, according to the original meaning, sin is like an arrow missing the goal. Thus, sin is not only about heavy sins such as robbery, murder, or adultery, but also all the sins that prevent people to attain the final goal which God predestined for human beings. In today's passage, St. Paul listed out 5 influences over the human life. First, living according to worldly way. This means that people live according to worldly standards and values. These standards and values often totally contrast with God's standards and values. For example, God teaches people to sacrifice, to love, and to forgive, why the world teaches them to be selfish, to enjoy, and to hate. Second, living according to the devil's control. St. Paul expressed it this way as following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the disobedient. Third, living against right teaching. The Holy Spirit always guides people to live according to the truth. When people listen to the devil and live against the truth, they disobey God and become God's enemy. Fourth, living according to the desire of the mind. If you live according to wrong and prohibited things, many people do not know how to use God's gift and freedom to benefit themselves and others, so they must endure sickness or be confined in prison. And fifth, living according to the passion of the flesh. According to Paul, the fleshly sins are not only sexual sins, but also include many other sins such as idol worshipping, jealousy, anger, hatred, separation, and division. See Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. We can abbreviate the 5 ways into 3 easy remember ways which we use to read in many prayers. According to the prayers, people must confront 3 kinds of enemy in this life. That are the devil, the world, and their own flesh. All 3 enemies are dangerous, and people are unable to overcome them if they do not have the Holy Spirit gifts. St. Paul also confessed, "We were by nature children of wrath, like the rest." Second point, the right way. Contrasting with the worldly way, it's the Christ way, or the Holy Spirit way, as Paul mentioned in the letter to the Romans, chapter 8. The result of the worldly way is that people must endure God's wrath to punishment and death. The only reason we prevent people to be free from death was explained by Paul in today's passage. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved, raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heaven in Christ Jesus. The third point. It is through faith and by grace that you are saved. And St. Paul concluded, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you. It is the gift of God. It is not from works, so no one may boast. People are not able to do anything to be saved, even to keep the law. So they must completely depend on God's mercy, expressed to the fact that God gave Christ his only Son for human beings to redeem people's sin and to bring people back to God. Therefore, we are unable to come back to live according to the worldly way, but must live according to the Holy Spirit's guidance to benefit ourselves and others. Second, the gospel. Be aware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession. The third point, fighting because of the inheritance. One of the multitude said to him, Teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who make me a judge or divider over you? And he said to them, Take heed and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. There are two principles one needs to learn to deal properly or material things. First, God gives material things to all. All things are already in the world when human beings first appeared. People do not bring anything with them when they enter and will not carry anything with them when they depart. Therefore, let no one use his power to hoard material things to make his own possession, but he must share them with others. One can work harder or spend more time to work, but no one had a right to keep in his hand an amount of money that can be used to feed millions of people. The reason of injustice is human greed. People want to have much money to squander or to protect their descendants to eternity. Second point. We must value people above material things. Everyone knows it, but not many live as such. In today's society, we witnessed so many cases in which parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters fought because of material things. The results of putting material things above relationship are lawsuits, division, and separation. Second point, human wisdom and God's authority. First, human wisdom. Jesus presented a case to make people choose things. The land of a rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." And he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" So many people today have the same attitude of this rich man. They want to have very much, and as soon as possible, so they can retire at young age. Some try to work many hours. Some try to invest in areas that bring them much profit, such as stocks, land, houses, gold and silver. Many had to pay a dearly price for their innate greed. Even some are successful of doing that. But once God planned to take out their possession, they cannot revenge him. Second, human life is in God's hand. But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, who will they be?" So is he who lay up treasure for himself and not rich toward God. People know that they have no authority on his life, even a short moment. When the appointed time comes, they must depart. If they know so, why do they have to worry and to hoard up money? They know they cannot bring a single thing with them. Their children might not need that. And even if they need them, it is not guaranteed that they will benefit them. For example, the elbow ripped between siblings. Moreover, they suffer because of lacking spiritual and intellectual needs or diseases. The wise men are those who know how to live according to the law way. They view material things as a means to reach to their future destination, which is the eternal life. Application in life. All of us sin and are deserved of death. But because of God's mercy, he predestines us to be saved through Christ. We are unable to do anything to receive God's grace, even keeping of the law. What we can do is to hope in God's mercy and to believe in Christ. It is not by richness that our life is protected. We must avoid all kinds of greed and live in God's providence. Amen.